Craig Nelson with Cox Newspapers joins us now from the Palestine Hotel. Mr. Nelson, what can you tell us about how the attack came this morning, when it was, and what happened?
The attack occurred about 11:45 in the morning. At first, journalists in this hotel thought it was just one of the many bomb explosions occurring nearby. The hotel shook, the windows rattled, but soon people realized that the hotel had been directly hit. The wounded people were rushed down from the 15th floor and carried out of the building on sheets. And initially, most people thought that it was just an Iraqi irregular who had taken a pot shot with an RPG or a rifle. So it was people reacted with incredible disbelief and anger when they learned that it was actually a shell from a U.S. tank situated about a mile and a half away that took aim at the hotel and fired.
There was, I believe, a vigil outside the hotel this evening for the journalists who were killed.
Yes, there was, and it was a very solemn group. I spent obviously a lot of time with journalists, and I've never seen as many in tears. With both frustration and anger and grief. It was a very sad occasion.
Craig, have you been able to get any sense of what sort of fighting is underway in Baghdad today?
The morning started out with a huge firefight as U.S. troops who had taken the southern end of the Republican Palace on the west bank of the Tigris moved north, trying to seize the information ministry, the planning ministry, and more buildings. And they succeeded. It was a very long 4 or 5 hours of fighting. They moved with tanks, with armored personnel carriers. At one point, there was an A-10 Warthog plane coming in very low over the city, filling the building, a planning ministry building, with a round of fire that blew the building apart. And it was a spectacular, amazing thing to watch from the side of the river.
Have you been able to get to any hospitals to get some sense of the numbers of killed or wounded?
Yeah, I was at a hospital. I was at two hospitals this morning. I went to the main surgical hospital, and there the director of the hospital, the acting director of the hospital, said their biggest problem was not medical supplies, although it was a problem. It was not water, though that was a bit of a problem too, or electricity for that matter. It was the fact that nurses and doctors who lived in the outskirts of Baghdad simply could not get to the hospital. So they were not able to staff the operating rooms where they're getting scores and scores of casualties, both civilian and military, every hour. We talked to an ICRC staff member outside the surgical hospital, and he said we were in a situation of a permanent wave of mass casualties. He wouldn't specify how many that was. He simply said the number of casualties was massive.
Have you been able to get any sense of the presence or lack thereof of Saddam Hussein, any sense of where he might be?
Well, rumors about Saddam have now reached Elvis levels. 2 days ago, a government minder working for the information ministry said that he had seen Saddam out of his car rallying Iraqis to fight the invaders. We'd heard this rumor several times before, and there seemed to we had more than one confirmation of it. We also know that Saddam likes to get in his car and drive around town. And I actually had someone tell me a couple of days ago that they looked in their rearview mirror and saw in the car behind them Saddam driving his car by the Prime Minister's residence. I mean, this is the atmosphere of rumor, innuendo, and maybe, just maybe, some fact that surrounds the fate of Saddam Hussein.
Craig Nelson, thanks very much for talking with us.
You're welcome, Melissa.
Craig Nelson is a reporter with Cox Newspapers. He spoke with us from the Palestine Hotel in Baghdad.